Take our Bibles, please. Go to the book of Psalms, and we're going to go to Psalm 34 tonight. Psalm 34. And this, I was telling Brother McMaines that, you know, tonight is one of those messages that really every Christian can give a little 2 cents in. You know what I mean? Sometimes when somebody's preaching, I said, oh, I think I got a little, maybe a little 2 cents or a little 2 minutes I can add to that right there. You know what I'm talking about when a preacher's preaching and the Holy Ghost gives you something, Brother Van Ness, and it seems like you just want to tag right there and then tag out, you know. And tonight's one of those messages, you know. I don't think it'll be very convicting. I think it'll be very helpful, and it helped me when I thought about this and the Lord gave me this message. But I want us to look at Psalm 34, and let's look at verse number 8. Psalm 34 and verse number 8. I read a statement, a quote recently, is by Oswald Chambers, and he said, the same God that made the ocean made the shore. And I really like that because it helps me, you know, to think about when God's helping prepare messages. I want to keep it on the bottom shelf. I'm not intelligent anyway, so why even try to impress you, right? Come on now. And so here it is, Psalm 34. Look at verse number 8. Psalm 34 and verse number 8. I'll read it once, and then we'll read it together, and we'll ask the Lord to help us tonight. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Let's read verse number 8 together. Ready, begin? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Just for a few moments tonight, I won't be long, but I like to preach on the subject, God is good. God is good. So ask the Lord to help us. Father, I am very happy to be here tonight, Lord, with your people. And I'm thankful, God, for this church and for the many lives that have been changed because of this church. I thank you, Lord, for meeting with us tonight already. God, I don't want to ruin what you've done in our hearts tonight. I feel blessed, Lord, to be in the house of God. And I do ask you, Lord, that you would speak through me tonight. Lord, you know that without you, I can't do nothing. But I know what Paul said, God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Lord, I'm simply here to be a conduit, to be a vessel in your hand. And Lord, I want to be a vessel unto honor tonight. God, please speak through me. Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. And then, God, would you let none of the words fall to the ground, God. Please help me, God, as I speak on your behalf. I love you, God. Thank you for being so good to me. I don't deserve you. I never have. I never will. But I'm thankful, God, for all that you've done for me. You've done so much for me. I pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I wish I could adequately describe to you God. When you think about God, Jesus said in Matthew 19:17, when he was speaking to the rich young ruler, he says, why callest thou me good? There is only one that is good, that is God. When he chose to describe his father, he says, don't call me good. I want you to understand one thing, that there's only one person that is good, and that person is God. It is best defined as being morally excellent, morally excellent. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but the Bible says he was in all points tempted as ye are, and here is the major difference between man and God, and yet without sin. God has no sin. God is morally excellent. Even Pilate, when he was getting ready to deliver Jesus into the hands of those that would torture him, of those that would pluck the beard, of those that would pierce his side, the Roman soldiers, if you will, even Pilate said, I find no fault in him at all. I tried him, I've questioned him, and the Bible says that Pilate said, I find no fault in him at all. And I just want to say tonight that I've been saved for the last 22 years of my life, and God saved me out of a broken home. And God took me out of a difficult situation. And God established my feet upon a rock. And God established my goings. And God put a new song in my heart. And I just want to say tonight, church, that after the last 22 years of being saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of Jesus, I want to say tonight very dogmatically and very emphatically that I cannot find any fault in him. You see, I tried him and I found that his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know cannot begin to tell what Jesus really means to me. He is the Prince of Peace. He is my counselor. He is my very best friend. He is my lily in my valley. He is my rose of Sharon. He is the one who carries my burden. David said he's the buckler. He's my high tower. The righteous runneth into him and are safe. And what I'm trying to tell you, church, tonight is that over the last 22 years, I've seen the hand of God provide for me. I've seen the hand of God give me protection. I've seen the hand of God give me his presence. I've seen the hand of God give me his power. And no words that I can preach to you tonight or thoroughly try to describe to you tonight can utterly convey the fact that I can find no fault in him, my friend. Zero. I don't find any fault in God. You see, I try to tell you that God is good, but I cannot explain it to you. One thing we have to understand, from our perspective, we are bad. Come on now, we are bad. When we go soul winning, we give people the gospel. We want to for them to comprehend and understand that typically we say, did you ever teach your child how to steal? Did you ever teach your child how to cheat? Did you ever teach your child how to cuss? And obviously the parents will say no. Well, what's the reason that kids do these things? You know why? Because we are born sinners. I am bad. And Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 12, I know you understand this verse. The Bible says they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. What does the Bible say? No, not one. And as much as we try to, in our minds, say, man, I've done good today, and I'm a good person, and the Bible says that all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. You see, God's not impressed tonight with the fact that I'm preaching his book. You say you were called to preach and you're doing a good work. I understand that. But God's not impressed by that tonight. God's not impressed tonight that we sang the song Written in Red and the fact that they sang through it all and he's been faithful. I believe he receives the glory and I believe he receives the praise, but none of these things can impress God. You see, nothing that I can do can impress God. But I'm going to tell you, friend, everything that he does for me impresses me. It impresses me that he provides for my home. It impresses me that he puts up with my insecurities and my pride and all the things that come together with being me and being you. It impresses me that God Almighty would lower himself to become a baby, to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, and to be hated into the hands of sinners. And even that day when the disciples all fled away, Jesus Christ cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want to say tonight, that impresses me, my friend, the fact that God is very good. Now, I want to say a couple things by way of introduction. I want to say, God is good in his essence. God is good in his essence. What am I talking about? I'm talking about his attributes. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8. The Bible gives a definite attribute that only belongs to the Lord. This only belongs to the Lord. I cannot be this way, nor can you be this way. Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 8. I like how it starts off. The Bible says, Jesus Christ the same. Jesus Christ the same. Let's read that together, church. Hebrews chapter 13. And verse number 8, good to see you, Brother Orlando. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, let's read it together. Ready, begin? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, here's the problem, Brother Ryan, okay? Here's the problem, Miss Nancy, is that I have days when I'm on topside, Brother Matthew, and then I have days where I'm, quite frankly, I'm just lowly. I have days when I can probably help somebody, and I have days where I need help. And as sure as seasons change, and as sure as days change, and as sure as politics change, and as sure as economics change, and all these people, you may have friends that have gone out against you. You may have family that speak about you. I mean, you may not find acceptance in your own family. Why? Because people are prone to change. change. People change, my friend. Oh, but tonight I'm talking about a God. I'm talking about the God from the Old Testament, the God that when Moses lifted up the rod and he split that Red Sea, and praise the Lord, when they got on the other side, their shoes were not muddy, you see, because God crossed them over on dry land. That's how you knew it was God. I'm talking about that same God that called Lazarus out of the grave. I'm talking about that same God that healed the man with the sickness of blindness, and the man that was in Mark chapter 5 that cut himself night and day. But when Jesus passed by, Jesus made a difference in his life. You see, I'm talking about God who was loved yesterday. The same God, Brother DeRozan, can be loved today, and he'll be loved tomorrow. Why? Because he is the same. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He says, I'm the Lord God. I change not. And thank God for that, my friend. Why? Because he's a God that never changes. You can check his track record. He doesn't change. He's a God that was mercy with the woman in John chapter number 4 after she had 5 husbands, and the one she was with that day was not even her husband. She said, man, I perceive that thou art a prophet. But here's what she didn't know is that day she met not only a prophet, a priest, but praise the Lord, she met the king that day, and he made a difference in her life. Why? Because he's the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I say that he's good in his essence, my friend? You see, he's an omnipotent God. Oh, yes, he's an omnipotent God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the what? The firmament showeth his handiwork. He is an omnipotent God. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Philippians chapter 2 says this way, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Then the Bible says this, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why, my friend? Because he is an omnipotent God. Yes, he is. He's good in his essence, friend. He's omniscient. I want you to turn your Bibles and go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, this is a very beautiful description of the omnipresence and omniscience of God. Psalm 139, and let's look at verses 1 through 10. Psalm 139, thank you for paying attention tonight. And Psalm 139, look at verse number 10, verse number 1. The Bible says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and what? Known me. Look at verse number 2. Psalm 139, look at verse number 2. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. He says, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Verse number 5, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Then the psalmist says this, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. He says, it is high, I cannot attain unto it. What he's saying is that when I think about his omniscience, when I think about his omnipresence, that knowledge is too high for me. My finite mind cannot comprehend, nor can it process, nor can it even fathom the infinite wisdom of Almighty God. I'm saying he's good in his essence. Not only is he good in his essence, number 2, by way of introduction, he's good in his efforts. He's good in his efforts. Let's do a quick Bible study. Go to Genesis chapter number 1. This is very interesting. How many of you read the Bible once through every year? You raise your hand. You try to read the Bible once every year. Okay, good, good, good. I've got to confess to you, this did not dawn on me, Brother Young, until after maybe about 15 years being saved. I try to read the scripture, but these verses stuck out to me in Genesis 1. I said, oh, that's pretty good. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse number 4. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 4. And God saw the light, that it was what? Good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Look at verse number 10. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was what, church? Good. Now look at verse number 12. Look at verse 12. And the earth brought forth her grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was what, church? Good. Look at verse 18. And to rule over the day and the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Look at verse number 21. Genesis 1:21. And created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought abundantly after her kind, every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was what, church? Good. Now look at verse number 31. And God saw everything that he made. And behold, it was what, church? Very good. It was very good. Yeah, it was very good. And can I just say tonight, Brother Steve, our God is the only God that can fashion all the different particular design of all these flowers and all the species of animals and all the species of insects. And God was the one that put those colors in the horizon. Rembrandt can never touch the colors that God put out on the ocean shore. And I'm going to tell you, friend, even Vincent van Gogh can try his best to paint, but none of them come close to the beauty that God has done. You see, the Bible says that God is good in his efforts, his actions. Think about how good he's been in your life, friend. We can spend all night talking about the goodness of God. Now, in this portion of Scripture, I got three things, and I'm done. Here it is. Number one, the Bible says, taste and see. Look at verse number 8. The Scripture says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." You see, that word taste is an action verb. You need to do something about it. You see, you got to realize in your life that God has been good. And by the way, whether you realize it or not, God has been good in your life. God is good. You see, taste and see. And so this week is a big week for us. And I want to say, Monet, this is one of my favorite weeks. You know why? Because on Thursday, I'm going to be a glutton on Thursday. I'm going to be real with y'all, okay? I'm going to be a glutton on Thursday. You say, you look like a glutton. That suit don't even fit you. But listen. Thursday, don't laugh at that. It's a slim fit suit, praise God. This takes about 20 pounds off. I can't button it, so I'm not going to try to button it. But on Thursday, it's Thanksgiving time. I don't know how you guys do it at your home. I don't care unless you invite me. But I know what we do in our home. Typically, the wife gets the turkey all baked up and marinated a couple days before. Butterball turkey, by the way. We don't buy any Walmart brand turkey. We buy butterball turkey. No tofu turkey either. Why do people buy tofu turkey? Oh, man, it tastes like turkey. Why not just buy a turkey? Don't buy a tofu turkey. Just buy turkey, man. Okay, here it is. I hope there's no vegans out there, okay? But, all right, every herb of the field. Okay, now listen, here it is. A medicinal. We get this turkey going on. And here's what happens, Miss Nancy. My wife, she got all the herbs and she got the spices going on. And she get that thing in the oven very early, okay? We get that thing early. And then we get the mashed potatoes going on. No Idaho brand mashed potatoes, okay? Nothing instant about Thanksgiving. Come on, can I get an amen right there? Nothing instant from scratch. And I don't want lumps in my potatoes. I don't know how you work yours, but I don't want any lumps in mine, okay? No camels in my potatoes, baby. I want that thing blended. I want it smooth. And then I want the good gravy. Now, you got to get the gravy that's at the bottom of the pan of the turkey because it's got all that grease and all that blood pressure and all that high cholesterol and all that diabetes. You know what I mean? You got all that going on. Come on now. If it's sugar-free, if it's gluten-free, if it's all kind, it's nasty. That's what Brother Baldwin said, okay? So listen, so you got all these things going on, right? And then you get the gravy going on. Then you get the flour, and that thing's smelling good. And then you get that box, you know, not macaroni. You get that fresh macaroni when it's got that good crust at the top. And then you get the collard greens going on. Can I get an amen from my black folks? Come on now. Then you get the collard greens. Are there any other... Okay, so you got the collard greens going on, right? And then you got the biscuits going on, man. You got croissants in the house, and then you got pecan pie going on. You got Jello going on. I mean, you got green bean casserole going on. And if somebody hungry, okay, I'm gonna say it. Then you got cranberry sauce and all these different arrays of food. And Miss Connie, I walk through the house, and I'm like, oh, man, that smells so good. You don't want to ruin it. by eating before the meal, but you're getting hungry and your intestines are starting to go which way, twisted, and they start to eat away at that's too graphic, but here's what happens. You get very hungry and the aroma is starting to rise in the house, and the anticipation, it's like graduation and a wedding all at once. You know what I mean? It's like, man, I can't wait to sit down and enjoy this meal. You know, the Bible says if you're going to know something about the goodness of God, you're going to have to not just smell the aroma of God cooking. You're going to have to sit down at the table and sit down at the placemat. You're going to have the grace of God serve you up the food and sit down and taste and see that God has been good. You see, the world around us say, well, I don't think that God is love, and I don't think that God is patient, and I don't think that there's a God who worries about people and hunger, and there's gangs, and there's ISIS, and there's this and that, and they're focused on all the tragedies. But I want to say to the world and to the Christians here tonight, how can God prove himself to be good in your life when God has been cooking things up and God has been marinating things in our life and God sets the table and he expects all of us to sit down and to taste and see that the Lord is good. Now what happens after this meal is done? I know what happens. My wife, thank God for my wife. Come on now. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And what? Obtaineth favor of the Lord. I've obtained some favor. And let me tell you, I need all the favor I can obtain, okay? So my wife takes this huge kind of a pan, and it's about 4 inches deep, and I don't know, maybe a 16 by 20. It's a huge pan, huge. One of them Martha Stewart pans before she went to jail, Martha Stewart, okay? So here it is. And she throws the turkey in there. You got the white meat, the black meat. That's not meant to be racial, okay? Then you got the mashed potato. You got the side, my friend, brother Julio. You got this corner right here of greens, and it's like every compartment has this spot. You know what I'm talking about? This huge pan, and what we do, we put it in the fridge. We just leave it there, and we take it out. Maybe two days later. I mean, I eat it every day until it's gone, I'm going to tell you the truth. But I try to save some for some people in the house. But what happens is after about maybe 3 days, you take it out and you heat the oven up, 375, 425, whatever you want to do. And you let that thing bake. And you take it out. And you serve it on your plate. It seems like all the greases and all the spices and the meats get a little bit more tender. And just like this X-Men formulates, you know what I mean? And it's got you got this super dinner. It's like, man, it was good a couple days ago. But, man, after about a week, that thing just comes together. I mean, it's beautiful. It's an awesome thing. And I believe it's a little bit better. I believe that it tastes a little bit better. What am I trying to say? Now that you've been saved for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. You see, the first day you got saved and trusted Jesus Christ, man, it was awesome, man. It was your first love. And you cannot believe that somebody as perfect as God would forgive somebody as imperfect as you. And you cannot believe that somebody as pure as God would come to live in a wretched man's heart and a wretched woman's life. And you could not believe that. But oh, my friend, if I were to bring you up here tonight and you've been saved for 10 and 20 and 30 years, you can testify with the psalmist of old. Like David, he says, I've been young and now I'm old, but I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm trying to tell you that Paul said, God has been the one to provide me. He's called me. He's performed it. He's seen it come through. And God has been sweeter as the days go by. Yeah, he gets sweeter, friend. I cannot believe how much prayer he answers for me. I thought I knew something about it when I was 12. Oh, no, friend. Now that I'm 33, I know a little bit more. And I pray, I ask the Lord to give me a couple of more years of production for him. But I see myself a 70-year-old man, 70, and be able to testify of the goodness of the Lord in my life. Some saints of God here tonight, you could say, I mean, you know more about God than I ever thought of knowing, but you can testify of the goodness of God. You got to taste and see. Number two, look at Psalm 34. Look at Psalm 34 and look at verse number 4. Psalm 34 and verse number 4. 5 more minutes and I'm done. Here we go. Verse number 4. The Bible says, I sought the Lord and he heard me
and delivered me from all my fears. Look at verse number 6. Look at verse number 6. Let's read verse number 6 together. Everybody got Psalm 34, 6? Let's read it together. Ready, begin? This poor man cried. Yeah, look at verse number 17. Look at verse number 17. Look what the Bible says. Verse number 17. Let's read it together. Ready, begin? The righteous cry. Oh, man, that good. Look at verse 19. Look at verse 19. Look at verse number 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And let's read the following words here. Ready, begin? But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. I want to say number 2, testify and speak up. Testify, speak up. You see, Psalm 107, verse number 1, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So many times I feel like we're ashamed or we're a little bit hesitant to talk to people about what God has done in our lives. And listen, my friend, the person I want to talk about the most, sadly, it's not the Lord Jesus Christ sometimes. And I'm ashamed to tell you that he's not always on the radar of my mind or my thinking process. But I want to be like Paul of old when he said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable, not unto his life, but unto his death. What was Paul saying is that I want to talk to you about the goodness of God. I want to know God very deeply. I want to know his voice. I want to know his presence. I want to know the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I want God to be sensitive to me, and I want to be sensitive to God. I want to say we all ought to testify and speak up of what God has done in your life. He's been a good God to me. I don't know why God would take a boy from the inner city of Long Beach, put him in Christian school, take him to Bible college, put him in the ministry, use him in a Bible college, and God knows the future about this place. What I'm trying to say is, I feel like I'm living in a dream. Why would God bless me with a beautiful wife and a godly home? Why would God bless me with 3 beautiful children that call me daddy? Why would God bless me with the beautiful sister that loves the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would God bless me with the mother that understood the value of raising her children for the Lord? Why would God bless me with friends and family that would come tonight to hear me preach and to hear me ramble and try to be a support? Why would God bless me with a friend that's in the ministry and loves God and is a mentor and a model of what the Christian life and what a man should be? Why would God bless me, my friend? I have no idea. I wish I could tell you the secret. I wish I could give you the 1, 2, 3 step to success. All I'm saying, friend, is that I'm being in the way. Hey, the Lord let me. That's what I'm saying, friend. Why would God bless me? I don't know. I'm going to tell the world about it, friend, till Jesus comes back. I'm going to testify about him. Yes, I am. And I want to say number 3, and I'm done. Look at verse number 13. Oh, we got to taste and see that he's good. We got to testify and speak up. And then number 3, we got to trust and serve. All we need to trust the Lord. Look at verse number 13. The Bible says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Verse number 14, key verse and conclusion verse. Let's all read verse number 14. Ready, begin? Here's the number one reason why I try to do good. Is that Mrs. Newton, Brother Mrs. Newton? Man, I didn't even see y'all. Man, good to see you. Praise the Lord. Work with their son-in-law, Tim Aggie at First Baptist. Good, good. Okay, back to the message. So here it is. Number one reason why I try to do good, why I try to trust and serve him. You know why? Because he's been good to me. He's been good to me. Well, God's been good to me. Okay, that's great, but how's your lifestyle? Are you living for the Lord Jesus Christ? Sometimes I believe we become as welfare Christians. Oh, God, provide for me. Oh, God, answer my prayer. Oh, God, be dear to me. Thank you for healing my mother who had this heart problem. And thank you for being my wife and this delivery process. And thank you, God, for the home and all the toys that you give me and these things called life and how you, but I don't want to do good. James tells us,
that faith without works is what, church? It's dead. God's been good to you, then you show it. Oh, I want to ask the Lord for the next whatever years of life he gives me, that I would do good, because he's been very, very good to me. God is good, church. With every head bowed and every eye closed.